Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Boy, hello, and welcome to episode 52 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show with your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my co-patriot, my bud, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. What's up, Adam? And hey, listeners, how are you today?
Wow.
Don't answer, because we can't hear you.
You sound really good.
I do sound so good right now, and I feel so good. And you did something special. You gave a gift.
Did I?
To our listeners of this program. Adam Silver is responsible for me sounding fantastic.
A little bit better.
So, yeah. A whole lot better.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out in post. Actually, I need to watch the levels now because you are, it's so much more depth right off the bat.
And I'm just so much more excited right now.
So do you want to tell them what you're talking about?
I have a new microphone in front of me. I'm speaking into right now. It is so beautiful. An Audio Technica ATR 2100.
Right. It's the workhorse. It's the workhorse of podcasting, in my opinion.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. So I'm so happy right now.
Right. I mean, next thing you know, we might get you, a limiter compressor, get you a mixing board. Who knows? The world is your oyster.
Anything can happen right now because I know that with this new step up in production quality, we're going to get so many more subscribers.
So many more
five-star reviews.
Right.
All of our fans and followers are going to go and say, I just need to share this podcast with my friends and leave a review. And tell the world and endorse and sponsor this podcast it's just so good now.
It sounds like you're wrapping us up. we're done. That was it. Thanks for the show, everybody.
Best episode ever.
Right on. We're 2 minutes in. All right. So what's going on? What's new in your world?
Everything is amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Today's going to be a fun day. I hope. I've got some work around the house to do, kind of prepping work. We're still prepping to move. We got a lot of house projects to hit, and we're prepping for a bit of a trip next weekend. We're going down to Dayton, Ohio.
Oh wow, nice. Good for you.
Yeah, it's gonna be a whole lot of fun. Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff to get ready around here, and also there's a baby shower / other thing for guys today, so I'm gonna go paintball with some buddies this afternoon.
Cool. Hey, I was gonna ask, so have you found a house yet, or are you just prepping your house to sell? Then you're in no rush. There's no urgency to get out.
Right. Yeah, we're being pretty picky, honestly, because we don't have to move right now. We're just kind of ready for a change.
Right.
Ready cool. for something different. So we've toured probably 10 houses by now, and a handful of them we really liked and talked seriously about, but. Like I said, we're being really picky. So,
is there a big demand? I mean, right now we're coming in. Just so you know, I look into real estate all the time, as you already do know probably, and I'm super interested in being investing in it as a sideline, not as a new thing. But the point is, what is the market temperature there in Jackson? As far is it a buyer's market, seller's market? Do you know?
I don't have much to compare it to.
Okay.
Because I don't know anything about real estate markets in other counties, but it seems pretty good here. The prices are still pretty reasonable. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably a little bit on the buyer's side. I can get a pretty decent house for not a huge investment.
So you're not looking at houses and they're not going to the market and selling in 4 days.
Some are if they're really good.
Yeah.
And priced to sell, but no, a lot of stuff sits long enough for us to look and think and talk about it.
Cool.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm not the guy to ask.
Yeah. Okay.
What's new in your world?
All right. My week one of my WordPress Essentials class went off last week, which was awesome. And I have weeks two and three coming up. If you're interested, for the next time I teach it, somebody out there, let me know. I did land a new client this past, actually just yesterday from the time of this recording.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, it was a 7 week, it's a nonprofit and their budget was limited. So I gave them what I did what I could do on the budget proposal. Couldn't knock it down to what their initial budget was. And nor should we. I mean, I think a point here is you can offer a nonprofit a discount, but it has to be fair. You can't just give stuff away unless it's really going to benefit you. It's your pet project. It's you're on the board of directors, something like that. But otherwise, giving up more than 10 or 15% is just not fair to you and your business and your bottom line. So that said, 6 weeks went by. I figured they were not coming back around. You know, it is what it is. And they did. So they got some more funds. They got the board approval. And looks like we're going to start that in about 2 weeks. I have a few projects finishing up. And then I'm losing a developer, unfortunately. One of my developers is moving on. So I need to replace that person. So if you're looking for dev work and you know Infusionsoft, PHP, and Lifter LMS, let me know. I'm looking for a part-time contract hourly dev. And last but not least, I will see you next weekend in Dayton.
Hooray! Yeah. What are we going to do there, man? What are we going to do?
Well, I'm not speaking officially unless someone cancels. Fingers crossed. No.
it's happened.
Folks. It has, yeah. So we're going to record a couple episodes, I believe.
It's happened twice when we were together.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Yeah. That I can remember. At least twice.
Well, I know Chicago for sure.
Right. And then again in, what do you call it? In Boston.
Oh, right. That's right. Good call. Good memory. Well done. I'm impressed. So,
that's right.
We're going to record a couple of shows live there. So if you're going to be in Dayton or you don't want to talk about Ohio, reach out and shoot us a question. We'll answer the question when we're live in there in a studio. We are renting space in a professional. No, actually, it's not professional. It's our buddy's studio space there. He shall go unnamed because I don't want to mention him.
Right. We don't want to do that.
It's a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be really good. But we're also going to be accosting people in the hallways and getting some more questions for the show. Some more audio questions.
Let's clarify. Not accosting because there is a code of conduct, but we will be graciously asking for people to give us questions on the spot.
Yeah. I love that. I love those. Oh, there's thunder.
Oh, I heard
thunder storming right now.
That's right on.
You can hear that?
A little bit. Oh. It's okay. Cool.
Maybe I should go inside.
Yeah. That's awesome. On that note, maybe we should move over to... this section, the next segment called the news. What do you think?
Okay, I guess so.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Nice. So Modern Tribe, you want to mention this? Because I didn't see this. I mean, I didn't post it in there. You did.
Oh, did you read it?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Great. We work hard preparing for this show sometimes. And so Modern Tribe is an agency, a WordPress focused agency. They're a distributed team all over the place. Super cool team of people doing big time WordPress projects. A lot of it focused in like higher ed, building sites for like Stanford and other like major universities, I think. And they posted a post on their blog the other day about on International Women's Day, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. And it was about what they're actually doing to improve diversity within their team. And all of us in tech know that there is a bit of a diversity gap in tech. Our WordPress community.
Diversity and gender.
Yeah, diversity. Yeah.
Inclusive of gender and everything with that umbrella of diversity.
Right. You and I fit the mold of the overwhelming majority.
Yes.
And so a lot of us, recognize this fact that it's not a very diverse scene, and maybe there's things that we can do. Well, a lot of us talk about it, and here's the reality. Tons of us recognize it and say, okay, yeah, there's a diversity gap. Tons of us care about that and say, man, that's not right. What can we do about it? But a ton of that ton goes to try and says, it's really hard to change, and I don't know how. So we throw up our hands and say, I don't know what to do. This is foreign territory to try and artificially fix this problem. It's not an easy, simple problem to fix. And so a lot of us have the best of intentions, but still struggle to make a big difference. Mm-hmm. But I thought that this post was good inspiration because Modern Tribe did a lot of research into the problem and outlined some very specific changes that they've been making, especially in their recruiting and hiring process, which has been making a positive difference.
Yeah. Right.
And some of those things are just like adjusting the language that they use and the pictures that they use in their recruiting process. They want to convey the right sort of culture, like reflect accurately the culture that they have and that they want to have. And it's something to appreciate. It's really easy to throw up like a work with us page on your site and throw up the latest snapshot of a few smiling people on your team from your last get together until you realize that some people may scroll through that page, read the language that you use, look at the picture, and think subconsciously or unconsciously, I don't know if I fit in or I would fit in that setting. That doesn't look like my environment.
Right.
And you know, we need to be aware of that.
It's true. You know, and it, even though these companies in question are predominantly remote based, the employees, you still want to feel inclusive. You still want to have that sense of community and feel of a company culture that embraces you no matter who you are. And the fact that you may not be, you know, next to a water cooler every Friday, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
I mean, I just read through the article real quick. It's a fairly short read, big text actually, which is nice. but one of the things that stuck out to me was Modern Tribe formed an inclusion group. This group is a team of members at various levels in the company who meet weekly to work on defining and executing inclusion initiatives. Being a member of this group is voluntary, open to all, considered billable work. This group was formed last summer and has been meeting regularly since then to work towards specific improvements. So that's also key, you know, that they realize you can't just have the 4 or 5 white guys being in charge of this group.
Right.
Right.
It's totally true.
Yeah.
And you can't represent your team with like a picture of 4 or 5 white guys who look, you know, maybe a little nerdy with like a nerdy PHP t-shirt or something like that. There are a lot of people like... They reference even some great articles,
yeah,
which are like further reading,
right?
Of women talking about their experiences working in teams like that, where I was the only woman amongst 6 other right. kind of like neckbeard programmers, them sharing their experiences in those environments is quite revealing. There are a lot of things that they go through or that they relate that. I don't know. Some of us are just like blissfully oblivious.
Totally.
To,
yeah.
Anyway, so there are real simple things that can be done, and they're demonstrating not just, you know, examples of doing them, but sharing the results, which are pretty astounding.
Right. So good article. Good check it out. Link in the show notes. And awesome. So I mean, you know, I'm sorry I didn't read it earlier, but I've read it now. So all right, moving on to our next segment, which is all about this one. What? Changes.
Great transitions.
I know. That was a weird segue. I'm sorry. But changes. People moving on. People who have changed roles. I don't know who this is. Again, you added this. I don't know who that is.
All right. I can't remember for sure whether you met Byron, but Byron Dillon joined a company called Sparkbox. And Byron is from the Akron, Ohio area. I met him last year at WordCamp Northeast Ohio or Kent or whatever it was then. And we hung out at the after party. He was a friend of Dave Kiss and came to the thing. You were there, but I don't remember if you met Byron. Anyway, he's a super cool guy.
I'm looking at his Twitter profile. I don't know if I know him, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. He's super nice. Really, really smart guy. All about programming in all these different languages and but also like community open source stuff. We talked a lot post WordCamp last year. Mm-hmm. I kept in touch ever since. And Sparkbox is based in Dayton. So I might even bump cross paths with him later this week. We made plans to tentatively connect.
Nice. Hey, so, it's funny. You say that he's super nice and super smart and great community. I'm looking forward to when we have somebody that we want to mention on the show that isn't nice, that isn't about community, and that's a total butthead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So like when you leave Sandhills, then that'll be yay. Okay, moving on. Okay. Anyone else? I don't think I heard somebody else was moving on, but we couldn't say it yet. Someone told me, they said, yeah, this is changing. Yeah, there's two people, I think, in the next, I would imagine, 3 months that will, and there's probably a lot more as well.
I think that's true. I've been noticing that in Slack channels.
Yeah.
I'm in a lot of Slack teams.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have like a jobs channel or a gigs channel. And in most of the ones that I'm in, I post more than anyone.
About people looking for work.
About, you know, I know somebody who's looking for a job, or I know somebody who's hiring. So I am in one of those channels almost every day, just passing the word along.
You know, and I'm going to do a little plug here. It's a little self-serving, but if someone's looking for somebody, this way it works. If you're looking to fill a role, there is a service out there. It's called canyoustartyesterday.com. Pretty cool. I know the guy who created the service. It's me, just full disclosure. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to our next segment, which is, of course, this one.
Oh, Josh.
What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now?
I think that might be my favorite one of the day right there.
Yeah. It's very helpful that you make sure everyone knows we're transitioning to another segment.
Okay.
Let's move on to the next segment.
Which is, I don't know. So how should I, anyway, moving on. Yeah. All right. What you drinking? You want me to go first? Yeah, go first. Ahead. I'm drinking coffee out of a WordCamp Orange County 2014 mug. Mm-hmm. I am wearing a trucker hat, WordPress trucker hat. And what shirt am I wearing? I don't even know. I'm wearing a Woo Ninja shirt.
Mm, yeah.
WooCommerce Woo Ninja, the old school ninja. Yeah.
So looks real good.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sipping on some coffee. I'm proudly wearing an Easy Digital Downloads t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Looks so good right now. And I'm still not quite done with Fatal Alliance, but I'm spending a lot more of my what would be reading time penning notes for an upcoming presentation that I've got to give.
Cool. Oh, and also I meant to mention my book I'm reading. I just restarted reading Thinking Fast and Slow.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel Kahneman. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really dense. I started it, you know, like a year ago. Stopped it after about, I don't know, a quarter of the way. I moved. I think it's what it was. I started reading right before we moved, and as I was unpacking, I rearranged the office. I'm like, oh, I should pick this back up. So I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, am I keeping you awake there? How's that coffee working out for you?
It'll kick in soon.
Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Oh shoot. I don't know. Can you give me multiple choice?
Yeah, it's this. That's right, people. You sent them in. It's questions time, by the way. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready, Kyle? Are you ready? Put on your options hat. Yeah. We should get options hats. That's what we need.
Ooh, okay.
But not. I don't want just the acronym. I don't want GOP. That's for dang sure. I'm going to get some get options hats. All right, so I'm going to ask you the first one. If you're ready for this one? This is sent in by Thomas Saltzman. Apparently, it's common practice these days within the WordPress job market to have multiple steps in the hiring process. That part's fine. But why do companies always want something for free, i.e. the project? Developers do a dev task, designers do a design task, project managers reply to scenarios, etc. What should I do when asked to do a project for a company that I'm interviewing with? My main question and issue is spending time on spec, meaning, I guess, working for free.
Right. Yeah, this is, you could picture like an old gangster movie. Where, that's what I think of.
Wow.
We've got the protagonist trying to prove themselves. Then we have this villain or mob boss or corrupt leader who says, I have something you want. I'll give it to you, but first you must do this one favor for me. There's a man named Adam Gray. I want you to pay him a visit and persuade him to sell me his WordPress business.
Mm.
So you got to, you know, you got to do this favor to prove yourself to the, you know.
So offset. So, yeah. So, okay. So that's the
schmuck.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not a fan. I'm coming out early
of the process.
Early in the process of like asking people to do free work.
Right. Yeah.
To prove their skills.
Well, yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, I have a couple options. I have two, and I'll tell you the first one I have right now.
All right, give
like
me one.
Like Nancy Reagan said back in the 1980s, just say no.
Good.
Thank
good.
You. But yeah. Because she used the DARE acronym, which stood for DARE, D-A-R-E, stood for drugs are real expensive. Wait a minute, that's not right, actually. It stood for drug abuse resistance education. But I was thinking about this, and I believe that DARE should now stand for Damn Aristocrats Realize Entitlement.
Ooh.
Or Digital what? Algorithm Resolution Email. Uh-huh. Don't Apply Resources Echo. That's all I got for those ones. It's hard to make an actual acronym that makes sense in this situation. But honestly, option one, just say no.
Or yeah. Here's another one, though.
Okay.
Think about this.
Okay.
Sit down and just like give this some thought. What you could really do is say in response, sure, I'll do this project for you. But I'm also going to need you to perform a series of management tasks for me for free so I can see what kind of manager you will be.
I love this.
And tell them all the manager questions and assignments you'll be sending them so you can evaluate their communication skills, their compassion, their understanding, technical expertise, diplomacy. Overall serious.
That sounds very George Costanza-esque. Like the doctor's late. If you cancel before a certain amount of time, you have to still pay for the bill. But if you're waiting an hour in the waiting room, what's up with that?
Right. Exactly. I love that.
Okay.
I totally put them on the spot
right.
And say, okay, I'll do this job for you for free. But you also have to prove you're a good manager for free. I'm going to send you some work.
That's brilliant. My option two is, of course, the standard typical WordPress answer. It depends.
Ooh. Is there a question
well, here,
you didn't say that for?
Well, do you want the job? How deep do you need to go? Let's say you're doing development job, or let's say you're doing PM or, you know, business development. You know, are you giving a 30,000 foot view on a scenario? Are you doing, you know, or you're going deep into the weeds, you know, like 420. Wait, no, that's wrong. Also not 420. I think it's tough to balance. I think the best test and the gauge of a good fit is the trial period. I think the better situation is a trial period that companies will do. Like, I think you guys did do that, correct?
Yeah. We do, but
Sandhills,
we do paid trials.
Paid trials. Automatic does paid trials. But those, of course, in at least Automatic's perspective, they go after the project. So, I mean, does Pippin and team and company, I mean, do you guys do pay trial first or is there a project first?
It's a pay trial.
Right. See, that's what I think is better, personally. I just think that that quote project to get to the pay trial is, again, that it's that hurdle. It's like, how can someone judge? I mean, I guess if it's code and I guess if it's design, design's so arbitrary, but code is code. But anyway, it's all, it depends. It just depends on how bad you want that job and how much time are you willing to give of yourself. I mean, if you're not working and you need a job and something you want to work for the company, okay. But if you're not, you know, if you're busy, you're looking at opportunities as a freelancer, then, you know, you have to make that choice up front.
I think most of the time, this kind of thing is bullcrap.
I love this answer. I'm really pleasantly surprised to hear your take on this.
Yeah. I'm usually so, I don't know, wishy-washy and diplomatic, dancing around issues and never calling it like I see it. But I'm shooting from the hip today.
Right on.
And I say employers should expect to pay for trials. Like, duh. And red flag, if you're an employee, get with a job like on the line, and the employer is dangling a carrot on a stick in front of you and trying to make you dance and do something in order to get this job, maybe. That's not good. That's not good. You often don't want to work for that kind of company. I mean, in fairness, there are some cases where employers can reasonably ask for very small things, you know, like responses to a series of questions, you know, or examples of your work, you know, something that you had to put in a little time and give it and demonstrate, because, you know, I've run a company before and I know what a tremendous risk it is to hire someone. You can sink your company, especially a small one, by hiring the wrong person. That's
right.
Like one of the most dangerous mistakes you can make as an employer is hiring the wrong person. It's so crucial to be extremely careful about it. The classic saying, I have no idea what to attribute to, is hire slow, fire fast.
Right.
Yeah. And that's so true.
I said that. That was me.
I thought I wasn't gonna, you know, but you know, there's no justification for expecting prospective hires to do work, especially if it's like real, legitimate project work, like for a client or for on a product. It's not just like example sample work.
But what is, okay, so what is it? Is that in your mind? That's the determination or the delineation is the word I'm looking for. So if it's just a scenario, how would you reply to the scenario? This is not a rule. This is something we did. It's done. It's in the past. Versus doing an actual project for a live client. Would you say that's where you draw the line? Is like if it's live work that they're getting paid for, but you're not, don't do it. But if it's a scenario situation, you know, okay, it's okay.
It does get a little fuzzy when you dive into it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would say it exactly that way. I think it's fair for an employer to say, here's a description of a feature set that we need. Describe how you would solve it.
Okay.
If you had to. And like, or here's a plugin spec sheet. We need this plugin written and it needs these features. How would you write it? Just describe it, you know, answer these questions.
Okay. But don't make the plugin and give it to them.
Right. If they were to say, actually, can you make this plugin? Even if it's not needed, even if it's just like, I need you to make a basic contact form plugin just so I can see your abilities. No, not work. You can ask prospective hires to describe in detail, like the tactics they mm-hmm. would use, the resources they pull from, libraries maybe that they might pull in to get the job done,
okay.
and just having them describe it. But no, not actually doing the work for nothing.
Okay,
not a fan of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I think there's a yeah. It's up to the person to decide what's right for them when it comes down to it.
You know, the tough thing is telling Thomas how to like gracefully handle mm-hmm. this sort of a encounter where you're asked. And that's a little trickier.
Right.
Like you can walk away. You can say no thanks, or you could do it, I guess, if you're really desperate.
And
but
I guess it depends. Did he apply? Did they come to him?
I don't know. Right. Like the way he phrases the question, like maybe he's seen this as a trend, encountered it multiple times. I guess you could maybe be very professional and say, like, you know, I'm not comfortable promising something which you might deliver to a client and build it before we've had a chance to work together, just because I don't want to risk any mishaps on a first project jeopardizing your relationship with a client.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just get.
That's good. That's good.
Just come up with something a little creative like that.
But what about the feedback? Let's say I don't know either. But let's say someone does one of these things where it's scenario based. You write the answer, and then they don't give you the next level of the trial because they feel like you didn't go deep enough in the weeds. I mean, how are you supposed to know how a company interacts with their clients, their tone, without working there first? You know.
That's a good thing. I mean, a trial is good for both parties,
right?
Because you don't want to commit yourself to a job if you discover it's not the environment for you,
right? It's a weird thing in our industry.
It is a little bit.
Because any other industry, past jobs I've had in my life, you go, you apply, you interview, you get the job. And yes, there's like a 90-day, you know, period in theory of what do they call it? I can't think of the word.
Probationary period.
One of those things, exactly. So probationary period, 90 days, so you can kind of onboard, see what's going on. But there was no. And if it's really bad off the top, you know, within a couple of weeks, you know, days or weeks even. But there was no thing prior to that. You know, there's just you got the job, you did the job.
I like dissecting that a little bit because I think you're right on in that difference. That's been my experience too. But I think that there's a few things that kind of explain it. One is that it can be a difference between large and small companies.
Okay.
It's simply like a lot of those experiences that I've had in the past, where there's a very formal process mm-hmm. and you know, these are the job requirements. If you meet them, you're qualified and you go through HR and there's the forms and blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. here's the process, you know, bigger companies have that. Small companies maybe don't yet. We are surrounded. We're swimming in a pool of or a lake of small companies.
Right. Right.
They just have like their own, you know, we're figuring it out sort of process still. They don't have like maybe the HR person in this whole workflow. Another thing is that our expectations in this industry are a little bit different. We emphasize far less like academic achievements and resume compared to
experience.
Like experience and skills.
Right.
Like if you're good, we'll get a chance. So we want to see the work. That's like just our culture in this space, like the remote work, tech, web dev industry, right. Whether you have a degree or not is like a pretty small factor. But trials and like seeing you work together, making sure you have good culture fit, making sure you can write the code and design the things is more important. Maybe we're not a perfect meritocracy yet, but we definitely emphasize just don't care how you do it. Don't care what your background is, but if you can do the work, you're in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a different culture.
It's a different culture. Okay, cool. All right, well, I hope that answers the question for Thomas. All right, moving on. Question two, what do you got?
This question comes to us from Natalie Smith, who sent it to us in Slack, and she asks, "Hi, all. I have a question. Do you charge your clients for the time spent familiarizing yourself with a new plugin or functionality they requested, like a particular front-end builder? The way I usually approach it is, if it's something I'm likely to use again on another client's site, I won't charge for the time it takes me to learn the basics. But if it's something really obscure that I probably won't use again, I will charge both for the time I spend reading the docs and actually implementing the feature on the site. I was just wondering how everyone else deals with it."
Okay.
I like that question.
I do too.
Like
yeah. And my answer is yes.
Cool.
No.
Yeah.
Option one. My option one of this, I think I have two on this as well, maybe a third, kind of a third idea to kind of still percolating. But option one is, I think you should pay them. Really, you should pay them as an appreciation for the opportunity to learn a new skill.
Sure.
That's my first option. What do you got?
Good idea. I think it all comes down to your ABCs, Natalie.
Oh.
Always be charging.
Nice. I saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
I think I wrote the same thing down. I'm like, you know what? Kyle will get that. He'll get that one first.
Come on.
Nice.
You got to give me some of those sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Softballs.
You can't always be the funny guy.
Oh, yeah. Option two from me is, yes, charge them, but make it double for using an unknown resource.
Double charge?
Double the fee. I mean, you know, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's what she's doing. She's charging them for the time it takes to learn and to implement. So it's technically a double charge. But see, in my case, it's double. I'm actually just doubling the rate. So if you're at 100 an hour, now I'm charging 200 an hour for that piece of it.
Right.
That's
instead
what I
of
think.
Just doubling the hours.
Right. Just just double. Whatever it is, just double it.
Double it.
Raise your prices.
Well, that's good good advice, generally speaking.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that actually Natalie has a pretty good handle on this.
Yeah, I do too.
And she described her typical handling of this situation. I'm pretty on board with. I like the sound of it. You're going into it, evaluating whether you think you'll need this skill in the future. These tools, are they potentially useful to you? Are they on the list of things where you're like, one of these days I got to go, you know, check out that one tool, that other plugin, or that theme framework and just learn it because it seems to be popular or looks like it might be handy. And then here comes a client who asks you for it and you're like, perfect, this is the chance to push me to learn it. Maybe it's not an added cost to the client, but that's something to be careful with because my delineation is if the client insists on a particular technology and they say, I want you to use LearnDash for this e-learning site, or I want you to build this with Genesis, or I want you to put my e-commerce site on Shopify, or to use what
I'm just nodding, I'm shaking my head because you're taking my third option. In essence, go on.
Cool.
Great minds think alike, Natalie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And look at each other's notes. So if the client is insisting on a particular set of tools, a very particular set of tools, if they say, I want you to use this, then they should not have an expectation that you somehow magically know that,
right?
Unless you're advertising,
right.
That you know it already. So then definitely your time familiarizing yourself with the tool set is completely billable. But if for some reason they don't insist and they're completely ambivalent about which tool set to use, and you do your research and based on what you find, it looks like one is the best solution. Well, you know, you get up to speed on that. Maybe or maybe not. It could be billable, but it kind of depends on how you advertise your services to the client.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what do you add to that?
Well, I think my take on what you just literally said was functionality versus the tool. If it's a new functionality, yes, you charge for it 100% because it's not part of maybe scope potentially, or if it's part of the project, but it's just a function. If they're, because you said this, familiarizing side with a new plugin or functionality. Well, to me, those are two different things. Functionality is adding a new function that doesn't exist. If they are indicating what plugin, what tool to use, to me, that's first and foremost a red flag. Why are you letting them choose the tools for you?
That's a good point.
I literally just walked away from a job, if you remember, about a month ago, where the client asked what tools, what plugin, I mean, what theme we're going to use. I mentioned Beaver Builder. They asked, you know, why not this other one? And we already had designs done, so it didn't really matter what tools we were using, you know. And she wanted cheaper and faster. I'm like, well, these are the tools that we use. We know how to use fast, you know. So we end up walking away. And what do they end up using? Yeah, Beaver Builder. So, but they, it's just weird. But yeah, so I think that red flag is if they're dictating use this tool. If they're that's a red flag. Keep that in mind. If you don't know it, then charge for it. If you do know it, okay. But I think it's more of those things that, you know, functionality in the way it's worded to me is two different things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So there are cases where clients have legitimate reasons for using certain tool sets. I've encountered that. Maybe especially in larger clients with more technical people on staff who maybe have a bigger and more complicated stack or environment that you're working in, and using this set of tools makes perfect sense because it's fitting into the bigger picture and you're involved in just one part of it. So it's not, I guess Adam's point is correct that you want to always ask why, always. Why are you pushing for this particular set of technology? Even like, why do you think WordPress is the right choice if they're pushing for that?
Right.
Why any of this? Because that can be very revealing. And clients, you know, very commonly have some funny reasons for choosing these technologies.
My nephew said this is the best plugin to use.
Right. Yeah, or because it's free.
Right. Betterify my site.
Yeah.
All right. I think we did good. I think I like that answer. Those are our answers. I really do.
Yeah. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Awesome. All right. Segment, last segment. So no more questions. We're moving on to a segment. This one is the do and cue, which we have no sound effects, no bumper for. So can I just make one up real quick?
No.
Dang it.
Okay.
Do and cue.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess that works.
Okay. Yeah. So I only have three on my cue of things I want to share.
I have 64.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know you have six. So you go first and then we'll wrap this up.
I have a few blog posts. I'll start with my blog post. First is an article, and these will all be linked in the show notes, of course. Adam's going to look them all up individually and find the links and put them in. The first is called Using Ethics in Web Design. It's an article on Medium written by our friend Morten Rand Hendrickson.
Oh, yeah.
And it is very thorough.
Cool.
It's something he spent a lot of time building up. It's a very detailed, lengthy dissertation on ethics in web design.
Wow.
There's a lot of rich stuff in there. Definitely any of us working in the web, building websites, these are the things that people use to better their lives, get their jobs done, find information that they need, entertain themselves, what they interact with the works that we create. We need to appreciate the responsibilities that we have when we're building those. So that's a good article. Another is, I think it was linked to or linked from somehow the article we talked about in the news, but What It's Like to Be a Woman at a Tech Conference. Great article by, what's her name? Chloe, I think. Yeah, Chloe Condon.
Okay.
this was a pretty interesting article, very revealing, and shares some good examples of things that made me go, wow, I can't believe that that happens. So good reading for all of us in tech. And then my third blog post is different. It's better than better. And this is an article from, what's his name? Brian Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who started Studio Press. And I loved this. I loved this article. It was about him learning how important it is to be different, not just to look at your competitors and say, how can I be better than them? That is not, you know, that's like, I guess, our inclination in mm-hmm. most cases. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's much smarter and far more strategic to say, how can I just be different than them? Very distinctly different. And there are awesome examples in the article that really give you a lot to think on. So those are my three blog posts. What do you got?
All right. So I'm going to start. So I have a podcast I think is amazing to listen to. I mean, I don't know if amazing is the wrong word, maybe just really interesting. I'm a huge. Dang it. Hold on one second. My Alexa just kicked in. Alexa, stop. So there you go.
Thank you, Alexa.
That was weird. And we keep saying that if someone's listening to this podcast on a loudspeaker, theirs will trigger now, too. So that was weird. Wow, anyway, so I am a fan of Trader Joe's, and Trader Joe's has a podcast. It's a 5-part series and about how Trader Joe's works. It's really cool. It's actually a really good show in the production quality of it. You'll like it a lot, honestly, Kyle.
Really? Really?
Totally. Yes.
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's did a 5-part series about like Trader Joe's. Pretty interesting stories. So check that out. And then another one I wanted to share with you is 10 tech movies to get you coding again. To inspire you to code again, because I, you know, I still have this aspiration of coding. So the 10 movies are The Social Network. I'll link to it in the show notes, but The Social mm-hmm. Network, War Games, Her, Primer, Revolution OS, Ex Machina, The Matrix, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Noah, and last one being TBBAFK, which stands for The Pirate Bay Away from Keyboard. I've seen half of them. I actually want to see the other half, and it's my plan this month is to see if I can see the other half of those movies.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. And then you want to finish. I'll do my last one real quick. It's, I don't know if it's something to put on your list to do, right? This is in queue. So medical records. It's a deal where we know if you have kids out there, if you have your children, you have medical records for them because you need them for shots, immunizations, for school, everything. As an adult, do you have your records handy? When's the last time you had your physical? When's the last time you had blood work? Tetanus shot. My shoulder is really sore because I had a tetanus shot because I had a physical 3 days ago, first time like in 5 or 6 years, and I have no record of when the last one I had any of that physical. So I'm now encouraging all my adult friends to keep track, keep a list, a queue of use. I'm using Evernote of what I have done, medically speaking, moving forward in my life.
Oh, that sounds really smart.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took me 40 plus years to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's your last three?
A show I discovered the other day. You know, this isn't the show, but I have always been a fan of The IT Crowd, which is just one of my favorite TV shows. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. Hilarious. And there is one of the characters in it is, gosh darn it, what's his name? I forget the actor's name. I can find that. Richard Ayoade? He's super funny in The IT Crowd, and that's what I know him from. So he started a new show called Travel Man, and he is accompanied by some celebrity guest and goes to places around the world and just has fun there. And it's a riot. I just discovered it recently, and my wife and I were watching it and loving it. We love travel shows, but this one is not dry at all. It cool. is totally hilarious because Richard Ayoade is just hysterical.
I'm going to check that out myself. I like travel shows.
Yeah, that's really good.
Cool.
And on Spotify, there's an artist I like. I don't think I've mentioned her before, but her name is Ryn Weaver, R-Y-N Weaver. And we'll share a link to her Spotify page. But I really dig her jams. They are so good. Super fun. And my last thing to share is a podcast that I've been tuning into recently. It comes from Radiotopia, which is a great network of a collection of some of the best podcasts around. It's co-founded by Roman Mars behind the 99% Invisible podcast, which is just amazing. Everyone should.
I listen to that one because of you now. Yeah, that's a good show.
Right. Oh, yeah. Everybody should listen to that one. So he started another podcast on the side with a local professor. And I forget her name. I'm bad at that stuff. Yeah, Elizabeth Joe, and she's a constitutional law professor. And so what the two of them do is take things that our president says, and then use that to start a discussion about constitutional law. And it's a really fun discussion. I've learned so much about constitutional law and like how our government and country works from this show. It's extremely well done, and they make some of these topics very interesting. And it's all just inspired by a tweet or a statement made by our current president. So the show is called What Trump Can Teach Us About Con Law. Nice. Great show.
So is our president on Twitter? I'm just kidding. I'm going to stop right there. So, hey, did you, I just want to go back to your Radiotopia and 99% Invisible. Did you listen to the episode about the laugh track?
The laugh track. Is that new?
Newer. I think so. Yeah. Check it out.
Might not have gotten it to it yet.
So good. So good.
Okay.
I think we should bring a laugh track into the show.
We totally should have a laugh track on the show.
I might. Next week, that'll be in.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
All right.
What's your last one?
Oh, that's I give all three of mine. Yeah. Trader Joe's. Yeah. They're movies.
And all right. Whatever. All right. That's your assignment, listeners. Check all of those out.
Right.
Before the next show.
Right. You got a week.
Yeah. And write an essay for us. Anyway, let's wrap up the show. What do you think, Adam?
I think so. Yeah. It sounds great.
Let's wrap up. All right. How you doing, pals? I've got a lot on my mind lately. A lot. All kinds of things that I'm thinking about. I know you do too. Here's some of the things that I'm thinking about lately. Put a lot of thought into. And if I knew of an advice show, I might write in questions about these things to that very show. And some of those things I'm thinking about are like Shopify and speech writing, WordCamp planning, B-flat minor seventh chords, webinars, Facebook ads and AdWords, search engine advertising, landing pages, preparing myself for the Breaking Bad finale, GDPR, planning remote retreats, scotch ales, buying a new home, static site generators, and so on. These are just examples of the things that like on my mind, like really consuming my thoughts. Like when I go to bed at night and when I wake up, I'm thinking about some of these things and many more. And I just wish that I had a resource. I wish I had a show that I could write into and just ask questions about them and get some wisdom, some advice that would be valuable.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you are not like me. You actually do have a show, dear listener, that you can write your concerns in. If it happens to be about any of those things that I mentioned, I'll be thrilled because I'll probably go on and on and on until Adam cuts me off.
Like about this wrap up?
Exactly. So, dear listener, we want your questions. We want to know what's on your mind. You may have concerns about things and you think, well, maybe Adam and Kyle don't want to talk about that. You're wrong.
We want it. Yes.
We want questions about that. Specifically, the questions that you think we don't want to talk about are the ones that we do want to talk about the most. Hit us up. You can send an email, questions@getoptionspodcast.com, or go to our website, getoptionspodcast.com, where you can fill out our beautiful, lovely, inviting contact form or leave a voicemail with your amazing voice so you can get a break from ours, even though we do sound really good because we have great microphones right now. We'll play your voice on a future episode. We've got episode 53 coming up, episode 54. After that is 55, and then we might do 56 and so on. Any of those episodes, your question could be heard and then answered with just a lot of effort and enthusiasm by these two dudes.
Right on.
Right.
You can find us online. Kyle's over at Mr. Kyle Maurer on Twitter. I'm over at Hey Adam Silver. And we are over at get_options on Twitter. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.